This morning, praise God, you guys are in for a great, great message in regards to sex and money. That's awesome. And we're going to hit this morning. And last night, as I'm preaching this, it was so quiet in here. I'm like, breathe, people, breathe. It's okay. It's sex is an amazing good thing that God so clearly talks about in Scripture. And it's just like, inhale, exhale. We will all walk out of here alive. It'll be amazing, but you got to breathe. So I want you to relax and hear this morning, and because we're going to cover this in a way, as I'm going over this Do Life Together. And gang, I find it difficult to really speak on a series. We do one series a year on marriage because I think it's that vital and that's important to continue to rebuild and continue to understand marriage and continue to see those who are being engaged and coming to that point, teaching the teenagers about marriage and teaching the singles about marriage and just a place to rekindle in regards to husband and wife and see what God says about marriage. And we got to continue to understand that it is a picture of Christ and the church and what example we can be to the world and the lost and those who are even in the church who struggle in their marriage relationship. As you know, man, come on, the enemy just hates marriage and he's hitting it and he's hitting it and he's hitting it. He's doing everything he can to destroy the institution of marriage that God has designed and God has created. And in that, man, I'm like, okay, you know, sometimes the two most frustrating issues in marriage are sex and money. And then someone this morning says, well, in-laws as well. I'm like, in-laws just need to mind their own business, and that's the message on in-laws. God bless you. And that's just, sometimes, anyways. But today we're going to skip the in-laws, and we're going to get into some of the two most frustrating issues when it comes to a husband and wife. And we are going to speak this to married people, to those who are husband and wife, to those who understand the unity that really brings, sex brings to a husband and a wife and to a marriage. And we're going to try to define some things. And man, am I studying this and I'm going over this and I'm looking through this, I have found some incredible similarities of what God says between sex and money. It's incredible. So let's just clue into this thing and let's hear from God. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you that you are the designer of husband and wife. And God, you are have given us the great privilege and the great opportunity between a man and a woman to enjoy one another physically and understand the bond that creates, God, that is given by you. Father, we thank you for this. Father, we come before you and ask that you would speak in this place by your word through your spirit this morning. God, we come before you with our eyes to see, with our ears to hear, with our heart open to respond to what you say to us this morning. Folks, please, even in this, I ask that you would ask God, God, speak to me in this. God, if I'm single in this place, help me to see what I need to see in this. God, if we're married in this place, God, we need this. We want to see what we need to see and hear what we need to hear. And in your word, God, we will respond to what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Someone even said, when I said, well, we're preaching on sex and money, someone said, that sounds like an R-rated movie. But in that, folks, that's disappointing, because anytime someone mentions sex, man, it comes off as the world has brought sex. It's like pornography, and it's a dirty word, and it's profanity. And that's not the way God created it. And that's not the way that we as a church, we who first love Jesus and recognize what it is to surrender ourselves to Christ and to see what God says about this. Man, when we understand what God says, it is a privilege. It is something very unique and special between a husband and a wife. It is something that is a responsibility between a husband and a wife. And it is exclusive to biblical between a husband and a wife. And I'm telling you, when you talk about sex and money, both of them can be abused. Both of them can cause great pain and great stress. There are many who have used both for evil. There's many who have used both for good. When you understand, when you're talking about these two, both can bring joy. Both can bring great peace. When you understand that, what am I going to do to ditch the frustration? We're talking about husbands and wife. And in that, man, we gotta come to a point to define things that frustrate relationship, and things that frustrate a husband and wife. And man, we got to deal with this morning. Turn to two places this morning, please. 1 Corinthians 7 and 2 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians 9. The two points of this message are look to give and look to maintain. When you understand those two principles, when you understand those two points in your sex and your money, and you put those things together in a way, I am always looking to give and I always look to maintain. Because when either or either are neglected, there's frustration between a husband and a wife. If your intimacy has been neglected, there's frustration. If you have neglected your finances, there's debt, there's arguments, there's frustration when we neglect one or other or both. And when both are neglected, there's some serious issues. Now, man, we're going to talk about this morning. And I do, man. I want you to breathe. I want you to understand sex is not a dirty word. It's not pornography. It's not profanity. You need to understand that. Because at times we let all the world define what God has defined. And that's dangerous when we do that. That's very dangerous when we do that. Pornography can be sex, yes. But sex does not necessarily have to be pornography. So let's just come to a point to recognize what God says about this morning. And gang, please hear this, man. And I have preached whole messages on this. But the point is this. I want you to understand, in the church, we've got to have a serious balance. The worldview of sex has so much weight on the balance of what is performance. All about performance. In the church, there has to be, God does speak about performance, but there has to be a balance on purpose. When you understand the balance between purpose and performance, then you are taking the worldview and destroying the worldview that is so much about performance. Very little about purpose. When we understand the balance that we need to do, and we've got to come to a point, gang, we are bombarded by worldview all the time. Movies, television, advertisement, music, always bombarded by what the world thinks about this issue. And when you understand that in the church there has to be a serious balance between God's purpose for intimacy and performance. The world is all about performance. In the church, we need to understand the purpose. Man, the purpose is a bonding. It's a privilege. It's a right. The purpose is unity. The purpose is two bodies coming one. The purpose is husband and wife coming together and understanding what it is to serve one another. Listen, the world is all about take, take, take. I can separate people by ones who serve and give and ones who take. The givers and the takers. And we understand what it is called between a husband and wife. We are to serve one another. And man, when you understand the bedroom and you understand God's purpose in this, it's always to serve. It's not about so much performance, but it's about serving one another, caring for one another, always looking to give to one another. Why does that stop at the door of the bedroom? Why do we think that, well, we're going to serve one another in every area, but man, why does that stop at the door? It's just who we're to be. Listen, when you understand what love means to always look to give. God loved the world, He gave. He always looked to give. And man, when we understand what it is in the bedroom, point number one to this is we always look to give. And we always look to serve. Because you can go into this relationship and recognize two people who serve. Or one serves and one always takes. Or you have two people who are just greedy and both of them just look to take. What can I get out of you in the bedroom? Man, when that enters into marriage, you've missed the purpose. Then you've tipped the scales to have have performance be more important than purpose, and that's dangerous. That's dangerous. And we, the man, look at, please hear this. When you recognize that at times frustration in marriage comes because intimacy has been neglected. Or we go in the bedroom and we forget that we are there to serve. What is it when we go in with one another and we say, listen, I'm here for you. My body belongs to you. Amen. I want you to see this. Come on. 1 Corinthians 7 says this. Now concerning the things which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, but because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife and each woman is to have her own husband. Now look at this, verse 3. Gang, this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this is what he says. Husbands must fulfill his duty. This is talking about that intimacy between a husband and a wife. Must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another except by agreement for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now look at verse 4. The wife does not have authority over her own body, and the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. And you look at this, when you come into an agreement of saying, listen, two become one, and you come into an agreement and say, this is not about me. We don't enter into marriage. We've covered this. We don't enter into marriage going, this is about me and my desires and what I want to get out of this marriage. It's about us. And we look at that which is humble in spirit, 1 Peter 3:8, that we've covered in detail regards to, I will put my other first before me. I will put Renee's needs and desires before mine. She will put Sean's needs and desires before hers. And I don't. When we look at this, we recognize in verse 4, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, the wife does. And it comes to a point to say, my body is not my own. Now, singles, please hear this. I'm going to go up to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6 says this, verse 13. Food is for the stomach, stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but it is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Now, look at this, verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ, so that I then take members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or it's talking about the physical body. It's talking about our bodies. Do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? And he says the two shall become one flesh. Look at the bond there. But that is in the wrong place between a man who is not with his wife. Now look at this. Verse 17. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Verse 18. This is huge. Flee immorality. Every other sin a man commits outside the body. But immorality is the immoral man sins against his own body. Verse 19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom is in you? Now look at this, whom you have from God, the gift of God, the Holy Spirit reigns and dwells within us, and you are not your own. Dang, when we come to grips, we are not our own on two places. When you come to know Christ Jesus, Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God comes and indwells you as a gift from God. And he says that you are not your own. Verse 20, for you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. When you just, as a single or married or a teenager, when you come to know Christ, when your eyes have been opened to the truth that I am desperate and I am lost and I'm hopeless, but Jesus died for me, paid the price for me. And in that, God by his Spirit comes and joins with you and reigns in you. And in that, when we understand that, we recognize that our bodies are not our own, because it is the temple of the Holy Spirit where God dwells, and in that I am not my own. So first, as a believer, your body is not your own. You don't have a right to do anything you want to with your body sexually, because it's not your own. You've been bought with a price. Look what he says, glorify your God. He's talking about your bodies physically with another. And then secondly, isn't it amazing that he goes right in? Don't forget that we're the ones in Bible translation who put chapter 7. Usually it's just one letter. You know, if you write a letter to your wife, last week was our anniversary. I wrote Renee a nice letter for our anniversary. And then break it up. Chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 5, I love you. Chapter 2, verse 6. It was a letter form. Bible was written in letter form. And it's amazing that he goes right into, when you get saved, your body's not your own. And when you get married, your body belongs to another. That's amazing to me when I see this. So we look at this and we recognize, and please don't misunderstand. Man, honey, your body belongs to me. Your body is, I can do with it that which I want, because your body, listen, it is not a license to abuse, but it is a license to use. In a caring, loving, God-given way, that bonds a husband and wife together with an amazing privilege to understand what it is to come together as one, physically. And isn't it amazing that both money and intimacy deal with matters of the heart? Both are heavy on emotion. Both are heavy on the heart. Both you have to look to give. Both you have to understand what this means in regards to giving. And we're going to read in 2 Corinthians 9 that we're to give bountifully, financially. And then here we look to give. Verse 5 says this: stop depriving one another except by agreement. You know what that means? Unless, and I understand, if there's physical issues, that's one thing, I understand that. But God is saying, don't stop having sex as a husband and a wife. That's incredible. Listen, look what it says. Stop depriving one another except by agreement. And this word depriving, it means, this is amazing. When you dig into this word, it means stop robbing one another. We just said that your body belongs to one another. First, our bodies belong to Christ in salvation. And second, in marriage, our body belongs to our spouse. It's no longer our own, but it belongs to them. And in that, he says, stop robbing one another. Stop stealing from another. Stop withholding that which is rightfully theirs. And then I come to this point, and even this week, someone's asked me, okay, so you're talking about sex. Okay, well, how often then does that mean? Okay, you're asking a guy, number one, okay? Number two, Bible doesn't say. Bible says when you understand the bonding and the unity and the effect, often comes to a place of being content. So we're not really going to get into this many or this. No, we're not going to go there because Bible doesn't say. It just says when you are content. But it says this: don't stop. Stop depriving one. Stop stealing from one another. Stop defrauding. It's amazing that this is what this word means. Listen, biblically, when we get married, and before marriage, if you sold some bill of goods, like, man, this body's yours and we can't wait to be close and in the intimacy, and man, and then you set something up that once you're married, you stop. God says that's defraud. This is how serious God takes us between a husband and wife. And this is why. Let's continue. This is amazing. Stop depriving one another except by agreement for a time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Why is it that we would ever stop? Why is it that we would fast from that? We come to a place to get with one another in regards to having a prayer time. It doesn't say stop because we're mad at each other. Stop because we've been arguing. Stop because we're this or because we're that. The only reason that God gives is to have a serious season of getting before God in prayer. That's incredible. Now listen, there are times that when I see couples that are really struggling, they come down and they sit down with me. I am not a counselor. I've got no PhD. All I've got is biblical verses and biblical ideas and what God says. And one of the questions, I'm very direct, when's the last time you guys were intimate? Well, it has been... it's been a year. It's been two. Well, have you been praying all that time? They're like, of course not. I said, well, God says the only time you're supposed to be apart is when you're in a prayer meeting, when you're really coming, and the whole purpose is to get before God in prayer. They're like, well, that's, no one's ever told us that before. But why is that, folks? God knows how we function. God understands if we come to a place to defraud, or we come to a place to withhold, or we come to a place to rob one another for what is rightfully ours in marriage. Satan is very aware. And the Bible says that Satan will swoop in and he will begin to tempt you physically with another because of your lack of self-control. That's amazing. When we become frustrated in this area and we have either looked to take, or it has been something that has been neglected. Well, Sean, we just don't have time for that. Well, I strongly suggest you make time. I strongly suggest you understand what it is to something like this is to be maintained. And you recognize between a husband and wife what it is, because the enemy will come in and he will tempt you. And whether it is on the male side or the female side, it doesn't declare. It's not just a man thing. It's not just so many people, and yeah, the men have a more of a desire. I can understand that. That's fine. But it's so wrong in a way that it's only about the man. That's not biblically accurate. That's just not true. Well, it's only about the man. That's just not right. I want to share some things in you in Song of Solomon. I believe Song of Solomon is an amazing picture between a husband and a wife. And I'm just going to go over a couple verses here. This is Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse and chapter 5. I'm going to go over how they viewed one another, their desire for one another, their intimacy, how they were excited for one another. This is chapter 4. I'm just going to read some key words out of this. How beautiful are you? And this is the groom speaking about his bride. How beautiful you are, my darling. How beautiful you are. And this is what he covers. Your eyes, your hair, your teeth, your lips, your mouth, your temples, your neck, your breasts. And he goes on and says this. You are altogether beautiful, my darling, and there is no blemish in you. Look, he covers from head to toe. I mean, he is circling his wife going, ha, yes. Love everything I see, everything about you. And look, he covers eyes, hair, teeth, lips, mouth, temples, neck, breast. And he goes, you are altogether beautiful, my darling. There is no blemish, nothing. Man, you are perfect. My eyes look at you and I'm amazed. And everything about you, head to toe, I can just picture him doing circles around his wife going, yes. And then we say, well, yeah, that's just the man. That's what the man does. Because I believe through the world, the enemy has painted some bad picture. That intimacy is only about the man. Why? Because the world has painted a picture that's all about performance. And there is such bonding, and there is such romance, and there is such unity, and there is such a biblical premise that, man, we are never going to allow the enemy in our bedroom. You know how you allow the enemy in the bedroom? Stop depriving one another. Or deprive one another, and the enemy will be right in the bedroom with you. Now look at this. This is incredible. I want to read the bride's side. This is what the bride says about her man. My beloved is dazzling and ruddy. He's outstanding among 10,000. Ladies, you want your man's chest out. You want him. You go to your man and say, you are dazzling. You are it. You are everything for me. Man, your whole package is everything that I got. When you understand that and you speak to your man like this, I could imagine the grooms being so pumped. Man, my wife thinks I'm dazzling. That's what she said, man. I'm it for her. Man, I'm it for her. And then she goes in and says this, your head, your locks, your eyes, your cheeks, your lips. Does this look like she's just like, oh, that part's just for the man? No, she's looking at her man going, you're everything for me. Man, she says, your head, your locks, your eyes, your cheeks, your lips, your hands, your abs, or for some, your ab. Your legs. His appearance. Yeah, that's funny. And then she says this, his mouth is full of sweetness. And he is holy or fully desirable. What part of this is just a slant-sided only about the man part? You've got this biblical picture of a bride who looks at her man and says, you're everything for me. And I completely, fully desire you. She says this, for he is my lover and he is my friend. This is a God picture, folks, of you and I in recognition of the importance of what it is to walk in a godly relationship between a husband and a wife. That the bedroom is not neglected. You make excuses. Well, we just don't have time, or we have kids, and we have this, and we have that. You're just inviting the enemy right into your bedroom. When you understand the significance of what God says about this, you will look to serve one another, and you will look to give one another. And you understand, first of all, in salvation, my body is not my own. And in marriage, my body belongs to my wife, or my body belongs to my husband. And in that, there is a fulfillment of a need between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. Why do you think in verse 3 it says, husbands must fulfill his duty to his wife? There is a need here that can't be neglected. Likewise, wife to her husband. There's a need, a biblical need for this between a husband and a wife. And in marriage, can't be neglected. And when it's neglected, it brings frustration. Because when this is neglected, please hear this, there is a sense of rejection. And rejection can be so dangerous in relationship. when you are in a relationship between a husband and a wife, or even just a friend relationship, whatever, but we're dealing with a husband and a wife, anytime somebody feels rejected, it just squashes, and just like someone just stepped on their heart because they just got rejected. And between a husband and a wife, when there is this sense of rejection, that brings division. And then there is this loss of connection because someone felt rejected. Now, man, when we understand this, we need to look at this thing a little differently. Come on, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says this, and talking about giving, finances, talking about if we understand what it is that we always look to give financially. Well, gang, you need to be in a place to be able to give financially. Some of the frustration from money comes from debt. Some of the frustration of money because we don't walk in agreement in where we're putting our money. When we come to a biblical place to understand, God, I surrender to you and everything I am is yours. God, every penny belongs to you. God, I am a steward of that which you have given me. And in that, God, it all belongs to you. And what we do with it as a husband and wife, we've got to walk in agreement. And man, gang, I am not one who would ever think or ever think that it is okay to have my money and your money as a husband and wife. That is division. The Bible says a house divided falls. Specifically, when money is tied to the heart, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6. And when you understand that we're dealing with things that are tied to the heart, dealing with two issues that deal with our emotions, that can be frustrating very quickly. Because we understand that this isn't a my money and your money. This is a place to say it's about our money. And yes, you can work and we can work and we can come to a place. But at the end of the day, the big pile is our pile. And more than that, when you really understand it, it's not even our pile, but it's God's pile. So we get past the point of even mine and yours, and we come to a place to get even further past, for the mature believer, get further past that it's even our pile, but it's God's pile that He's put us as stewards over, and what are we doing with it? And when you enter it that way, you begin to kill frustration quickly. And you come to a place to understand financially that yes, our money is tied to our heart. Yes, it's tied to our emotions. And we look at this, and some of the times when we get so deep in debt and we've not spent wisely, you know, people are like, well, what about this? Or how do you spend? Listen, the simple thing is this: spend less than you make. That's simple. When you spend less than you make, then you're walking in a biblical premise. When you walk in debt and you are trying to come to a place that you have spent this much this month and you know only this much is coming in, then we're out of line scripturally. Spend less than we make. When we do this, you'll kill frustration. Look what this says. When you as a husband and a wife always come to a place looking to give financially, look at the result. Look at this. Verse 6 says this. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That means in plenty. Each one must do his purpose in his heart, not grudgingly, not because it's going to cause pain, not under compulsion, not because we're forced, but God loves a cheerful giver. And you recognize in the bedroom to be able to give cheerfully and freely, and not sparingly, but bountifully, to be able to give financially in a place that is not because I have to, not because I'm forced to, but because I want to, because God loves a cheerful giver, and I'm supposed to give bountifully. When you see the comparisons between these two, you understand that both are tied to the heart, both have high emotion, both we are supposed to always look to give. Both can bring great peace, and both can bring great joy. Or if they're neglected, both can bring great frustration. And then we look at this, and we recognize that each one must do his purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Gang, both of these, in marriage, you have to look to maintain. Both of these, you got to look to communicate. We talked a little bit about communication last week, just about the power of our words and really changing the atmosphere of our home by that which comes out of our mouth. But in these issues, why is it that between a husband and a wife, it's sometimes so difficult to talk about intimacy? Why is it between a husband and a wife, it's so difficult at times to talk about our money and the situation and what to do with it? where we need to walk in agreement and where we need to give and what we need to do financially and what we need to pay off and what we need to not spend money on and where. Why does it become so difficult to communicate on these two things? When we are husband and wife, we're walking together as one, and you understand my body is not my own. Our finances are not our own. And you get into a deep communication, you get into talking about these issues, unashamed. Adam and Eve, Genesis 2, naked, unashamed. Listen, husband and wife need to go and talk about these issues unashamed. And again, trying to separate the bombardment of what the world says, the bombardment about the performance aspect, the bombardment about the way the world looks at things. But this, between the absolute biblical balance of purpose and performance. Man, when you understand, see, at times people will ask me, well, what's permissible between a husband and wife in the bedroom? This is what God says. He doesn't give a do and don't list in regards to a husband and wife. God says that He created the bodies to function in a specific way. If you know how our bodies function, there are specific parts that God created that are only for pleasure and sex. That's our amazing Creator. So when we get all religious on some different things, we want to have a list of do's and don'ts. When God just says, listen, I created you to enjoy one another, I created you for a purpose, and I created you in such a way that there is such a true purpose of a husband and wife coming together that, man, I don't see. God gives a list of this or that or right or wrong in regards to only between a husband and a wife. That's important. And man, when we understand what it is to maintain, we understand two things. Always look to give. Always look to maintain. Because if we don't maintain and things get neglected, there's frustration. And I'm telling you, we could come up with some pretty good excuses why our finances are in the position we're in. We could come up with some pretty good excuses why the bedroom has been empty. But neglect brings frustration. Come on, let's bow your heads, please. And when you understand, please hear this, when you understand one of the greatest parts to both of these is trust. One of the greatest parts to both of these is that I will trust you. I will trust you with my body. I will trust you with our finances. Because when trust is violated and trust is broken, that brings frustration, that brings separation, that brings division, and the house divided falls. And man, you've got to battle frustration in the home. And husbands, if you have violated trust, you've taken advantage of your wife, in a way of a taking way, and you're not always looking to serve, you've missed purpose in this. You've missed the purpose of bonding and unity. You've missed the purpose of romance. You've missed the purpose of what her needs really are. I mean, I'm asking you that today you can change things when you go before her and you ask for forgiveness and you repent and you turn. And you recognize, man, I am to love you and I'm to cherish you and I'm to serve you in every area. Maybe your wife has come to a place even to deprive her husband because of other issues, and it's not because of a prayer meeting. Or a husband or a wife have spent wrongfully that was out of the agreement that we spent in, and it's caused frustration. Maybe there's a point or a wife needs to go to her husband and say, man, I've missed this. My body is not my own. And when I said I do to you, I gave you my body. I don't want to defraud you. I don't want to rob you. I don't want to steal from you. My body belongs to you. And we come to a place to really walk in a home that is full of forgiveness and walk into a home that walks in agreement and unity. That the enemy finds no place in, folks. What an amazing home it would be if we had no room for the enemy. No room for the enemy. That we walk in agreement. We walk in an understanding of both these issues in our marriage and how important they are and how vital they are to a relationship that is thriving, a relationship that is always looking to give, a relationship that is always looking to communicate and maintain, not walk in neglect, that will never allow division to come in. Man, if you've allowed room for the enemy in these two areas, man, please, come on. It's real simple. Always look to give. Serve, serve. Always serve, serve. And walk in trust and build that trust again. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this word. God, I just pray for husbands and wives in this place that they get this. God, that we don't walk out and diminish what has been said this morning or have any other thoughts on this, but God, we go by your word. Father, let this seed that has been planted stick. God, don't let the enemy come in and steal this seed so he has room in the home. No room in the home. No room in the home. We'll always look to give, and we will maintain. In Jesus' name, amen.